coming up in the next couple of weeks is the Yuratzad of the Smichas Chachamim. The Smichas Chachamim of Naftali Katz, who was a Koyim Yuchas. And it doesn't matter what Geza, if it's a Chassidus or the Sfadish or the Lufishas, everybody holds the Smichas Chachamim in tremendous regard for his Kedusha. He was a Rav in many different cities, a big Makubal, Kabbalah Maisis. He lived even before the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And he had a tumultuous life. As a young kid, he was kidnapped. And then he went from shul to shul, being a Rav, kicked out of different places. At one point, there was a fire in the Jewish Roiva and burnt out all the houses in the city. And they accused him, because the fire came from his house, of like making some type of Kabbalah Maisis, which caused the fire, and he had to run, basically, away. And he lost two children in his lifetime. Son had a son who was a Gevaldik Rav and a Tzaddik. He was offered a position to be the Rav in Tzfas, and on his travels there, he stopped in Turkey, and he didn't make it out of Turkey, and that's where he's buried. I know Yossi tried to make it there. Didn't work out once, right? One of your journeys to Uman.
In COVID.
So it's considered to be a big schus to come to his tzion and to be mispalo there. So the story of his kidnapping is that as a young child, he's playing with the children in the neighborhood, and there was like some very chashuv caravan which was coming by, looked like an important person. And he said, one of the kids said, whoever will throw a rock, will be like, a good shtick. So he's like, I'll do it. So he took a rock and he threw it at this wagon. And so somebody very important came out, or one of his guards, and he looked for the kid, snatched him, took him, and he was going to take him back to whatever town they were going to in order to try him and to kill him, basically. They stopped off at an inn, and in the inn, he was brought in together with this, with this caravan, and he had a shomer who was watching him, this child, this rebellious child, and so he overheard as a young boy that there was a malamed who was teaching the son of the innkeeper. And in the course of the conversation, they came to a shver point of the sugya. And the Smichas Chachamim overheard this, Naftali, as a young boy, and he gave them the answer to the question. So they were very impressed with his charifas and started to talk a little bit more in learning, and they realized it wasn't stomach it. So they arranged with the shomer, they bribed the shomer, and in exchange, they wrote a letter saying that that the child died on the road. But it was a good shaykhet. The shomer pocketed the money, and the kid was off the hook. And he didn't go back to his town where he grew up very quickly, actually. He ended up staying there for quite some time in this inn, and he was like a ben bais there. And the innkeeper wanted him to marry his daughter. Mm-hmm. So he proposed the shidduch, and he really didn't have much of a choice in the matter. So he cried himself to sleep many nights, not wanting to go through with the shidduch. And so he asked, the innkeeper saw that he was crying every night. He said, why are you doing this? He says, I don't want to marry your daughter. So he wasn't impressed by that, didn't care. So he came back a few nights later, saw I was still crying. He says, you're still crying because of that? He says, well, now I'm crying because my ancestors are coming to me in my dreams and they're saying that this is not your zivuk. That's why I'm crying. So when he heard that, he didn't want to propose a shidduch, which was like against, like, the Beis and Shalmala. So he proposed a different shidduch, and they each married, different people. So many years later, the wife of the innkeeper was just going, passing through town, and so there was a pirate who came and snatched her. I kidnapped her and took her to his home, and she was able to escape. Basically, she climbed out the window, using some of his begadim to be able to make a rope, like you see in the shows. So she was able to get out the window that way, and basically she had. So they came to the Smichas Chachamim. Why did that happen? Come to the Smichas Chachamim because the husband didn't want to live with her because he suspected of foul play. So basically, they had to come to the Smichas Chachamim, and he said, bring me the begadim that you came down with through the window. So she came with the begadim, and he looked through the begadim, and he pulled out a wad of money, and he says, "This was the shomer who kidnapped me. Was the same people who kidnapped you, the pirates. So this is the whole Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated the whole thing so that you would just get your money back. That's what this is all about." That's what happened. When he was running from some of his bedifas, which he had, he made his way to Rav Chaim Alefandari, who was a great grandfather of Rav Shlomo Eliezer Alefandari, who we spoke about not long ago, but the Minchas Elazar, that tzaddik. So he convinced him to stay in his town, which I think was in Turkey, and he told him that if he would stay, he would make him like a rav in the city. This is one of his shtellers. So he built him a beautiful shul, which apparently it says here it still stands today. And in order to protect him from all the redifas which he had, because he was still getting redifas, so he gave him as a gift like a golden chest. And in the chest was like a pad of paper, a pen, and a gold sword. And by giving him this gold sword through Naftali, to this Minchas Chachamim, he told him that this sword is masugal that anybody who will try to mess around and hurt you, make any more redifas, will have a bad ending. Not that he would need to use the sword, but it was like a skula to protect him. After that, everything was very quiet for Naftali. Eventually, that sword made its way into the hands of the king, of maybe the Turkish king, and he used it to like win many wars. Like he used the koiches of that skula to really build an empire. He actually would use this sword. The Rabbi Sol Charkatover, who we spoke about not long ago, he was once having a conversation, and they were talking about if there were any Talmidei Baal Shem Tov who lived in Germany. And they said, somebody proposed that, I think Rabbi Elimelech and Rabbi Zusher in their travels that they came to Germany. So Rabbi Sol said, it's not true, they came to the border, they didn't actually enter. And then somebody said, the Baal Hafla, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer, who was the Talmud of the Magen from Mezrich, was the brother of Shmelka, so he was a Rebbe in Germany. So I said, oh, Taka, right? And then somebody said the Smichas Chachamim also was like had a stint as a Rav in Germany too. So it was very interesting that he had said that the Smichas Chachamim was from the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. He lived before the Baal Shem Tov. But he called him like, and he accepted that. Rabbi Yisrael accepted that he was Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. So it was another conversation with Rabbi Yisrael, which kind of revealed that. Part of it was the same conversation, part of it was another conversation. Basically, he said the following thing. He said, Rabbi Yisrael, that the Smichas Chachamim, He was nohig with like the menhagim and the rishner. Well, what's that? The rishner would go out with like malchus. It was very malchistic. He had like 300 white chariots and he dressed big day malchus. But when nobody was seeing, so the rishner was like being masagif himself with crazy sigufim, and he used to walk with like nails in his shoes and all types of yisurim that he would bloody everywhere. It was nori nerois to the rishner. So apparently the smichas chachamim had a similar hanhagus like that. He would go through town like as a rav, like with this sword, and he had like a chariot, and he had like a dog behind him, and he would make his way into the forest, and he would strip himself of all the begadim, and he would sit amongst like the spiders and all the different types of rodents who would like bite him up, and the dogs would come and lick his blood. How much crazy yisurim which were done, and come back into town like as if like the rav is coming back, and dressed in the big day malchus. So he had very similar midas chasidus and sigufim like the visioner had. On a different occasion, Rabbi Yisrael said that he had a Messiah, that his grandfather, the Rishner, said that this is his third time in the world. The first time that he was in the world was as the Smichas Chachamim. The second time as the Magid from Mezrich, which he was a great-grandson of. And then again now as a Rishner. So just to like kind of put it together, he was actually like Nishmas, the Smichas Chachamim, which kind of shed light on the fact that he said the Talmid Baal Shem Tov was the Smichas Chachamim. Just to understand a little bit of the Avodas Hashem which he had. There was a tzaddik Rabbi Avram Avish from Frankfurt that he had a hisayrus to be an Avod Hashem, and he was told in the Shemaim that if he wants to succeed in Avodas Hashem, he should go watch the Avoda of Naftali Katz. So he came, and as soon as he came, he saw that he was muchter betalos and tefillin, and he had a nair on his head. He was able to see this nair, which only like one or two tzaddikim in the world have like this type of a nair on the top of their head, and the Smichas Chachamim had that. And he adverbed his whole avodas hakodesh. I was pasta melech toicha mamish mayim b'mesura tishta. Slept on the floor. Everything was betzimtzum tikkun chatzos and shiras was ishbochos mamalik davar amelech. That was his avoda. Everything was b'mesura nefesh akolas nefesh. And he took from that observation how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu his whole life. And once in a service in Yeshuva, there was a group of Rabbanim who came to visit the Smichas Chachamim. And they weren't impressed because they saw that he was like eating during the Seres Mechuvah, and they felt like, you know, what type of Ben Oved Hashem is this if he's not fasting during the Seres Mechuvah? So they said, let me tell you the difference between me and you. You fast during a Seres Mechuvah, I don't. Why? He says, because you wake up and you do Tikkun Chatzos, and after Tikkun Chatzos, he said, oh, you know, it was good, feel good about it. And you go ahead and you prepare for davening, you go to the mikvah, and you learn, and you feel good, and your whole Oved Hashem is about feeling good. He says, and then you fast the whole day. He says, what about me? He says, I wake up at midnight, I do Tikkun Chatzos, and after I finish Tikkun Chatzos, I said, what is this, a Tikkun Chatzos? This is what I give the Ribbono Shel Olam, Tikkun Chatzos like that? So I do another Tikkun Chatzos. And then I look at Tikkun Chatzos, and it's not good enough. And then I say, already, I have no more time to do Tikkun Chatzos, I have to make Pachanas for davening. So then I start making Chas for davening, and I daven, I put everything in, and I look to myself after that, I said, well, what type of a davening is this? The offer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm broken. And then I tell learn, and I learn, and I'm broken from learning. He says, come after this, I push it. I don't have any more koichas to fast. So I have to eat. That's why I have to eat. That's really mamish, if you understand. The Derech Baal Shem Tov was very much like this. And how it means, Talmid Baal Shem Tov. This is mamish, very high madrigas. But this is like the Talmid Baal Shem. This is very much in line with how they do and how they did conduct themselves behind closed doors. Tshuva Talmid. He needed a certain amount of money. I think it was like 30 ruble. And in order to do that, he asked a certain veer if he would give him the funds. So he said he was a little strapped right now, I couldn't give it to him. So for some reason, the veer said that if you look over my Sefer Torah, for every mistake, which was just finished being written, he says, for every mistake which you find, I'll give you 300 ruble. So he said, okay. So he said it was Parsha Zekev. So he opened up the Sefer Torah to the Pasha, and the first words were Vahaya Ekev. Instead of Vahaya Ekev, it's Vahaya Tekev, which means like right away. Like instead of the word Ekev, it's a Tekev. So there was three mistakes. He said he'd give him 100 ruble for each one. So he gave him 300 rubles on the spot. So that was on Shabbos, because they opened up the Shabbos Sefer Torah to like read it on Shabbos, and after Shabbos, they were going to go make Hagos. The Beis Yisrael from Gur told over this story. So after Shabbos, I looked in the Sefer Torah, and it was back to Vahaya Ekev. Somebody once showed the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh a Kameya that he wrote. He gave Kameyas. And all of his Kameyas, pretty much all of them, he only wrote his name. All the Yeshuas which he did with these Kameyas, he only wrote his name, Naftali Katz, and that was it. No shameless, nothing. Just Naftali Katz. So the Baal Shem Tov once saw Kameya, which the Toldos Yaakov Yosef had received somehow from the Smichas Chachamim. The Baal Shem Tov looked at it, and he was able to know the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that how and when he wrote this Kameya. Baal Shem Tov was able to see things and know the machshavas and when things happen. He says that he wrote this kmeya while he was fasting in the mikvah. That's when he wrote this kmeya. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, on one of his journeys, on the journey that he went to go to Eretz Yisrael to meet the Rechem HaKadosh, he passed through Turkey and he was mishtateach at the kever of the Smichas Chachamim. And at that tzion, the Smichas Chachamim came to him. And he told him that he should go back to Eretz Yisrael, go back to Chutz Laaretz. It's not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, he tried to go anyways, but he told him, maybe this was after he had to come back. He tried and he came to Turkey. The Rebbe Smichas was the one who told him that it's not going to work out. You have to come back to Chutz Laaretz. And if he doesn't, he's going to die in Turkey like he did. That's what he said. He had a Talmud that made a few bucks and started to act like a balgaiva. And he once came to town and he didn't like call the Smichas Chachamim, which was considered to be a chutzpah. So many years later, he saw the Smichas Chachamim. And so he told him, it says in Gemara on Shabbos, that one who writes, shame mishimin. Shame Mishimin. So that too, since even though he's writing the word Shimon, but if he wrote Shame, which is also a name, so that's considered to be a ksiva, shtei oisias, and it's chayv, it's an iser to write Shame Mishimin. So he said, into this Talmud, his name was Shimshon. He says, how come the Gemara says Shem Yishimon and not Shem Yishimshon? Why does he do that? So he said, because Rebbe was Masada the Mishnayos. And he said, and since Shimshon forgot Rebbe, so Rebbe forgot Shimshon. That's what he said. As if to say, like, because you forgot me, I forgot you. As if, like, you do that to the Rebbe, so. And one last story. At one point in the course of this whirlwind of a life, so he was in the Beis HaMalchus somewhere. he was asked to come to see the king. And the Bas Melech saw him, the princess, and she desired the Tzmi HaSachavim as a husband. And Mama Shimon like Yosef HaTzadik and Neshes Poitifai, so she was able to arrange like to, just to have him and her in a room by themselves. And he was able to persuade her and others that this wasn't the right move. this wasn't a good thing to do. And so not only did he was matzliach in that, so he was able, they apologized to him for putting him in this type of a situation. And they said, whatever it is that you want, we'll give you. So what would you ask for something like that? What did he ask for? He asked for the clothes of the princess. The clothes of the princess. Why want the clothes? So he said later on like this, before he died, he says, when I go into the kever, I want to dress in the clothes of that princess, so that the Bezin Shemalu, when they see me, that they're going to see that clothes and they're going to be Malamitz Chosami, that I wasn't Ibra Abeir. So he had to work that out well in advance. He'd be buried in Antak, he was buried in those clothes of the princess. That's how he went into the kever. But you can see how a person thinks. King says he can have whatever you want. And he's thinking about what's it going to be like in the kever. That's what he's thinking about. What can it bring with me to the kever? Sonic things. But today, people go there for brachas that they can go, and it's B'chol Yeshua, it's mamash one of the great tzaddikim l'dayr v'dayr, s'chus yag v'nevel v'chol yisrael amen.